so nice of everyone to come out, especially on a extra points for below freezing nights when there's a big snowstorm coming. So thank you all so much for coming. Really, again, another week in our Wednesday night series, Beyond the Parsha, where we take concepts in the Parsha and try to connect them to our daily lives. Now, Maris Ayin, something we can connect to any Parsha, because any action that anyone does, there has to be some sort of concern or feeling of, hey, how does this look to those around me? But what we want to figure out is, do we care what other people think? And once we're discussing that in the social sense, I guess in the general sense, we're also going to get into certain halachos, which seem to come up all the time. And as I always do, I need to give a special shout out to my uncle Avi Savitsky and Atara, my sister, for the title and sign, Social Media and Maris Ayin. Should we care how things look to others? Very provocative title, something that people want to hear, because it is interesting. Are we supposed to live our lives worrying what other people have to say about us, worrying what other people think about us? And we spoke about this a little bit with the Shir on Ayin Hara, right? With the Rav's explanation of Ayin Hara, Bein Poras Yosef, what does it mean to be of the offspring of Yosef, to be immune to the Ayin Hara? Said the Rav that oftentimes we live our lives based on how others think of us. If we know that someone does not approve of something we are doing, often it's very hard for us to go forward with that. If we know that someone's just not happy with us, someone's mad at us, I know I struggle with this tremendously. It's a me that I need to get over, and it's obviously with a tremendous balance and sensitivity that you need to do that. But if someone's mad at you and you can't go forward, you can't just do things that you know are right because you're afraid of the pushback, that's the Ayin Hara stopping you. And that's someone who is subjected to the Ayin Hara. The qualities of Yosef HaTzadik, the reason why Yosef was unaffected, unimpacted by the Ayin Hara, is because Yosef, if he would have just listened to his brothers, he would have said, you know what, I really am worthless. I am able to do zero. That's not what Yosef did. Yosef was someone who knew his own strength, did not care what other people had to say, did what he thought was right, obviously after a tremendous amount of Yerushalayim and truth-seeking, and that's what he felt he needed to do, and that's what he did despite what everyone else had to say. Now, our topic, Maris Ayin, really does seem to be a topic of how things appear to others. And this comes up all the time. The most common questions of Maris Ayin are, I don't know, anyone here into road trips? You know, it's a big thing to drive from a lot of, to drive very far. I know in camp, when we used to drive to camp, there's always a rest stop. You always made a rest stop. Or anywhere you go, you always have this, the rest stop. And oftentimes it's some set rest stops and sometimes not set rest stops. You need a bathroom break, you need to get a bottle of water, whatever it is. You got to go into a McDonald's to buy a bottle of water. You got to go into a Burger King to buy a bottle of water. Any one of these types of restaurants. Are you allowed to go into those to go to the bathroom? Are you allowed to do any of that? Also, anyone who's been in the business world, you got to go into a non-kosher restaurant with a yarmulke on. This happens all the time. You have clients, you have patients, you have whoever it is. You need to have some sort of business meeting, and if you're not golfing, the best way to do it is over a meal. So they invite you to a certain place. Are you allowed to go in there without a yarmulke? Obviously, separate topic about what you're allowed to eat, maybe a fruit platter. Make sure the knife is not the same knife that they use for the meat. Make sure it's not a davar charif, like a lemon or something like that. Again, well, separate topic for a separate time. We could talk about that in a different venue. But something extremely important where this always comes up are these types of business meetings. So, what to do in these situations? Where does this topic originate from? Where does any of this come from? How are we supposed to be acting? So again, all we did started by talking about whether our actions are supposed to be impacted by the way that others view us, trying to deal with the common questions of a rest stop, going into a McDonald's with a yarmulke on, going into a different non-kosher meeting restaurant. No one's going to have their business meetings in a McDonald's. I'm pretty certain about that. So what do we do in these types of situations? So the first thing we need to do is figure out, where does this Isser come from? Where does any of this originate from, and why is it a problem? So if we look at source number one, the Pasuk in Ban Midbar, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chaf Beis, the Pesukim are talking about the Tanai of Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. They were all going into Eretz Yisrael, and they said, you know what, we're good here. We have a nice setup right outside of Eretz Yisrael. We have our flock, we have our Parnassa. We are good over here, let us just stay over here. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you guys can stay on one condition. Anytime there's any sort of war, anytime there's any sort of war or anything like that, you guys need to be in the front lines. You guys need to make sure that you come in and do whatever you need to do to protect our people. Then you can stay on this side of the Yarden. You do not need to come into Eretz Yisrael. They said, deal, but Moshe said something else. Moshe said, V'nech b'shah ha'aretz l'fnei Hashem. Conquer the land of Hashem. V'achar tashuvu v'yisem nikiyim me'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. And you need to make sure, v'yisem nikiyim me'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael v'ayisah ha'aretz hazos l'acham l'achuzel l'fnei Hashem. So it says, Rashi, quoting the Gemara, Numan daf lamed ches, what does it mean, v'yisem nikiyim me'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael? You need to be nikiyim, you need to be clean, you need to be pure in front of Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. Says the Gemara, not only do we have to make sure that our actions look good and are pure in front of Hashem, but we do need to make sure that they look good in front of other people. The Chassam Sofer used to say, you know, I don't mind keeping all the mitzvos, and I love keeping all the mitzvos, and I'm able to keep all the mitzvos, Baruch Hashem, but there's one mitzvah that I have such a tough time with, one pasuk which I just can't fulfill, and that is V'yisem Nikiyim Hashem U'mi'Yisrael. Because I can go and control whether I go earn, I can control whether I go put on tefillin, and I can control whether I go daven, but I can't control what other people think of me. I can't control if someone sees me in some situation and says, oh, look at the Chassam Sofer's doing. I have no control over that. So the first reason why Maris Ayin is a problem is V'yisem Nikiyim Hashem U'mi'Yisrael. We don't want other people looking and having negative thoughts, talking Lashon Hara, whatever it is, we need to make sure that we are painted in a positive light to our fellow Jews. Now, how does this interact with sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me, or don't care what they think? How does this all interact together? So we're going to have to discuss this. And obviously, it's a sensitive balance. And we're going to discuss, we're going to see a tshuva from Rav Moshe, which discusses this. So obviously, there's a balance. And obviously, we're not supposed to only live our lives worrying about how things look to others. But it is certainly a consideration. It is something we should take into account. It is something we do value in our religion. Now, how much and what extent, how far do we have to go to ensure that it doesn't get out of hand? That's a separate topic that we're going to have to discuss a little later in the shiur. But we definitely see that it is a value. Maris Ayin is a true thing. Chashad is what they call it. It's suspicion, not looking suspicious, shady, as they say. Whatever it is. This seems to be a value. Now, why does it exist? What's the reason for Maris Ayin? Why should we not do these types of activities? Because we don't want other people to think negatively of us. V'yisem nikiyim me'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. The Sefer HaChassidim gives a different reason for Maris Ayin, and he says, the reason for Maris Ayin is because it's kind of a lifnei iver. There's a din called lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. We don't want to put people in a situation where they are going to sin. Now, talking Lashon Hara and thinking negatively about others, that is not a good thing to do. But if we put ourselves in situations where people look and they're like, ooh, what is that guy doing? What is that person doing? So we are basically being over lifnei iver because we're causing others to think negatively of us. Similar type of idea, but not based on us, based on us setting other people up to think negatively about us. So those are the first two reasons for Maris Ayin. Either that we need to make sure that we look good in the eyes of others, or we can't set other people up to think negatively about us. But now we are going to get to a much more fundamental reason, a reason that comes up in halacha all the time and something we need to understand much more about. And that is the Gemara in source number 3. Just quickly, source number 2 is the Mishnah in Shkolim about how careful we have to be when we discuss being perceived by others. Mishnah in Shkolim talks about the Gabbai in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, imagine the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, right? We have to be very careful when we select a treasurer. We have to make sure that it's someone that we really trust, someone who knows what they're doing, someone who's a really honest and trustworthy person. Now, can you imagine who the treasurer was in the Beis HaMikdash? Probably a wonderful person. Probably someone who is so extremely honest, such a Ben Torah, someone so unbelievable. But says the Mishnah in Shkolim, Mishnah says if the Gabbai goes into the Beis HaMikdash and he's wearing nice tefillin and he's wearing nice shoes and he has big pockets, that might be a problem. Because people might assume, oh, look what he's doing with the money of the Beis HaMikdash. Look what he's doing with the money of the shul. Look what he's doing with this. We want to stay away from that. So that's why we tell them they shouldn't wear any of these things into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, can you imagine? This is the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash. This isn't some foundation, this isn't some organization. This is the Beis HaMikdash. we see exactly how strict we have to be, how careful we have to be in order not to incite others. Fine. So those were the first two reasons about how we look to others and trying to make sure that we don't put others in a situation where they are going to judge us negatively. Becomes source number three, the Gemara increases on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Gemara tells us, Amar Rav. Rav says, Dam Dagim Shekinsu Aser. So there's a din. You know you're not allowed to eat animal blood. I know all of you probably are devastated by this din. Wanted to have an animal blood smoothie. It's disgusting. So you're not allowed to have animal blood, but fish blood you are allowed to have. So you guys can all breathe a sigh of relief. You're allowed to have a fish blood, whatever it is.
Bloody Mary.
There you go. However, says the Gemara, if it's in a bowl, that is going to be a problem. You can't put the fish blood into a bowl and eat the fish blood. Now, why not? Why would that be a problem? I don't understand. If fish blood is okay, then it's good. Who cares if it's in a bowl, in a cup, in a spoon, in a plate, whatever it is. If it's okay, it's okay. So what's going on, says Rashi in source number four. Says Rashi, Shekinsu b'kli aser, dimichalif b'dam behema v'haroe omer mutter lechol dam. He says, what's going to happen? Someone's going to see you drinking a bowl of blood, and their first reaction is going to be, wow, that's gross. And their second reaction is going to be what? I didn't know you're allowed to drink animal blood. Okay, maybe I'll sprinkle it on top. It'll look nice, have a natural type of feel, whatever it is. Everyone's going to see this, and they are going to think that animal blood is mutter. And that's going to be a problem of Mara Sayin. Now we begin to see a little bit of a different view of what Mara Sayin is. It's not just about looking bad. It's not just about how others are going to perceive us. Now it's about causing others to sin, but not in judging us, because they are going to think what we are doing is usser. Now that is already a big issue. Says the rest of the Gemara. What did you say?
Not that it's usser, but that it's not usser.
Exactly. They're going to think that it's allowed. Certain things that are usser, they are going to think that it's allowed based on our actions. So then the Gemara went on, I put a few dots there, Ki tanya imas nisa d'isbe kashkashim. Ki kamarav usser d'lesbe kashkashim. So the Gemara asked a bunch of questions. When would it be usser? When would it be mutter? So says the Gemara, it's going to be mutter when there's fish scales around, when you have some sort of clear recognizable sign that you're drinking fish blood and not animal blood, then it will be okay. But when there's no way to delineate, no way to tell whether it is fish blood or animal blood, that's when we begin to get into some issues. And the truth is, if we look at source number 9, but we'll read it as we go on a little further. So the Shulchan Aruch over there in Pei Zayin, that's the beginning of Basar B'Chalav. And the Ramah in Basar B'Chalav talks about a different case. Let's say you have almond milk, right? Almond milk is not dairy. So you want to have almond milk with your meat. You want to have almond milk with your hamburger. Is that going to be allowed? And now, the same thing we can apply to our generation, right? We have parv cheese. So people have cheeseburgers with their parv cheese, or they have coffee with the parv creamers, fake crab, right? Really, this comes up, if anyone goes shopping for Pesach, now everyone says, oh, this cake is too good, it must not be kosher Pesach. So usually it is kosher Pesach. Actually, my brother-in-law told me a story that there was, he had a housekeeper one time who was like, she wouldn't cook, obviously, that's bishlakum, but she would help with the cooking in the kitchen. And she was always very good at like mixing the mashed potatoes or something for Shabbos. And him and his father said, oh, this is so good. There must be butter in here. It's so good. But it can't be, obviously, but there was butter in there. So be careful about that. But 99% of the time, when we talk about these amazing cakes on Pesach, they're matzah meal. Right? Matzah meal, tremendous things you could do. I was at the hotel last year for Pesach, and they had this pizza and the buns for a barbecue. Unbelievable how they do all these things. Are these things a problem of Mara Sayin? So what it seems from the Gemara, and says the Ramah, that if you put the box out there, or if you put shkedim, if you put almonds around the almond milk, everyone will know that it's almond milk, and then there's no problem. Because anyone looking from the outside, they're not going to say, they're going to see you with your delicious giant burger drinking a cup of milk, and they're going to see, oh right, there are almonds over there, so it's okay. So that's what they're going to say, so that's going to save everything. I don't know what the Sfardim think. This is the Ramah. But In Sephardim, I don't think the Shulchan Aruch quotes this. But this is what the Rambam says. If you put the almonds around, then you would be okay. But a similar case for us, something very practical at weddings, we know we have coffee at the end, right? Sometimes there's coffee and there's parv creamers. So parv creamer, that's a bit tough sometimes. So what they do is they put it out in the box. A lot of times you'll see they always put it out in the container in the box. Same thing sometimes with parv ice cream. They put it out in the box, so that way people will know that it's going to be parv, or that it is parv, and that there's no isser being violated at the time. Still, oftentimes we don't find that, in which case it seems to be a bit of a problem. So how do we defend a lot of what we do? When you have the Pesach brownies, it's not always surrounded by the box. Definitely at the hotel, it's not always by the box. I never really saw any of the boxes for these things. So how do we defend the fact that oftentimes we don't necessarily have this hecker? I know I like having these Morningstar sometimes sandwiches, these types of fake patties, whatever it is. That looks pretty bad. I see why someone might think, really, you're having that and then you're having chocolate? I see how that could happen. So it might be a problem. Oh, you're the rabbi, you're having this. Got to be careful, right? Obviously, we all have to be careful. We are all the Oral Gaim, as we pointed out many, many times. So if we look at the Russian source number 10, we will find a different kua. The Russian source number 10, the Mishnah and Kilayim, is talking about different types of material for tzitzis and the Kilayim. Sorry, not tzitzis. Talking about the different, what's wool, what's linen, how we delineate, how we are able to tell which one is which. So says the Rosh Avalcha, Inna bigdei meshi mitzuyim beinenu ha'akom makirim bahem. Hilkoch ein lesor chutei meshi shemeshiman besar b'shal tzemer. So since nowadays we know exactly what the materials are and everyone knows what's going on, everyone knows exactly which each thing is, so then there's going to be no problem with Maaris Ayin. So nowadays what we can claim is that since everyone knows that these parv creamers exist, since everyone knows that matzah meal exists, since everyone knows what all of these things are, then we would be okay. And we can really use the same kula by restaurants. If someone goes into a non-kosher restaurant for a business meeting, Rav Asher Weiss feels, everyone knows that people go to business meetings in this place. When you see someone in a fancy non-kosher restaurant, you're not thinking, oh, right, they're there to go eat a cheeseburger. No, you're thinking, oh, this person must be on business. This person must be on some sort of business trip. That is what you are thinking, right? So let's just review what we have discussed so far. Plenty of sources over there. Welcome, guys. Right, so let's discuss what we have done so far. So we started by explaining how important of a question this is. This is something, are we supposed to live our lives based on what other people think of us? Are we supposed to live our lives always worried about how others perceive us? And we pointed out the idea that we spoke about a few weeks ago with the Ayin Hara, that Yosef and his descendants were above the Ayin Hara because, says the Rav, Ayin Hara is when someone disapproves of what you're doing, someone doesn't feel what you are doing is right, and that somehow debilitates you. You're not able to move forward. We have to be able to move forward knowing what we are doing is right with the proper Yiras Shemayim, regardless of what anyone thinks. But on the other hand, V'yisem Nekiyem Hashem Ami Yisrael, the Pasuk, the Gemara, Rashi, everyone tells us that we do have to be careful how we are perceived. Chassam Sofer told a story that he was so nervous about this Pasuk because he can't control what others think of him. How am I supposed to control what others are going to say about me? I can control whether I daven, whether I learn, whether I put on tefillin, but I cannot control this. And we have to be so careful that the Mishnah even told us that the treasurer in the Beis HaMikdash, what an amazing man this must have been, but still the treasurer in the Beis HaMikdash has to be careful that he's not wearing clothes with big pockets, he's not wearing fancy shoes, he's not wearing fancy tefillin, because people are going to suspect him of potentially stealing from the Beis HaMikdash, something we have to take very seriously. Now, why did this Isser exist? Number one was either the Pasuk V'yisem Nekiyem Hashem Yisrael, and as the Gemara told us, we have to make sure that we do not look suspicious in the eyes of others. Number two, we saw from the Sefer HaChasidim, which said that it's kind of a Lifnei Iver situation. We don't want to be the cause of someone else judging us negatively. We don't want to cause others to sin and saying Lashon Hara about us. But then we saw a totally different shot in source number three, which was the Gemara in Krisos. The Gemara in Krisos said that dam of a fish, blood of a fish is mutter, but blood of an animal is usser. And if you have blood of a fish in a bowl, it's also going to be usser. Why? Because people are going to see it and think, oh, look, blood of an animal is okay. Says the Gemara, if you have scales around it that you can easily tell that it is fish blood and not animal blood, then it would be okay. And this is quoted by the Ramah. Again, I don't know what the Sfaradim do, but it's quoted by the Ramah. And the Ramah says when it comes to almond milk, if you have almonds around, then you're okay. We spoke about this with parv creamers, matzah meal, all of these different things which come up all the time. If we have some sort of heker, if we have some sort of sign that shows that it's not actually an Isser, you're not violating Basar B'Chalav, then it would be okay. And we pointed out that the Rush goes even a step further. And he says, since everyone knows certain things, then we don't have to be worried about it. We don't have to assume. So he was talking about what constitutes kilayim with wool and linen. But for us, everyone knows that parv creamer exists. Everyone knows that almond milk exists. So these types of things, which everyone knows, then we don't have to be as worried. And Rav Asher Weiss even used this idea to say that one going on a business meeting in a non-kosher restaurant with the yarmulke on does not have to worry. Rav Moshe actually has a tshuva on this as well, where he gives a few conditions that one needs. You need to be really hungry and have no other choice to eat. You need to really need this situation. He goes on to a few different things. Rav Asher Weiss says, everyone knows that you're not there for a situation to eat a cheeseburger. You're there because you have the meeting. Again, how to interact in the non-kosher restaurant, separate topic for a separate time. Maybe we'll talk about that. But that is the idea of the Marasayan. Now, what comes out of this, there are major nafkaminas as to what the reasons are. Major differences in halacha. Now, let's take a few of the cases that we mentioned in the beginning. So McDonald's, someone's on a long trip and the only rest stop in within 30 miles is one McDonald's. You need some water, you need a bathroom trip, you have screaming kids. You have no choice. So are you allowed to go into a McDonald's with your yarmulke on? So it seems pretty clear that the answer would be, yeah, why not? Right? Everyone passing by, assuming there are people that are passing by, let's say it's upstate, close to upstate, and whatever it is, it's bungalow colony, who knows. People might see you there with a yarmulke, but anyone who sees a Jew wearing a kippah in a McDonald's, you're just not assuming that they're going to get a cheeseburger. There might be the $5, you can buy the whole store for $5. Every commercial seems to be, you can buy so much for $5. I remember I just went to 7-Eleven. They have a kosher section, like Wasserman sandwiches, in the 7-Eleven here on Queens Boulevard. So I've been going there sometimes. And I bought, all they had left today was a challah roll with egg salad. And it cost more than like two pies of their pizza. It was crazy. Like they had all the pepperoni pizza, like three pies for $4, and my sandwich was like $7. So you could buy the entire McDonald's for $5. But you're not going to assume, even though we do as Jews, we like a good deal, we do. But we're not going to assume that someone's in there buying a cheeseburger. Instead, you're going to think that someone is in there to take care of whatever they need to do. However, now let's say the following situation. Let's say there's a store, Forest Hills, let's say, and I'm not saying anything about any specific restaurant, so don't take anything I say as a psak or anything like that right now. Let's say there's a specific restaurant which is not under the VAD and has very questionable hashgach. I heard from some people that it's okay. I heard from other people that it's not. And let's say we know that it's not okay, and we go into that restaurant, that might be more of an issue. Right? That might be a much bigger issue. If there's a, I don't even want to say any names because I don't want to say anything. Guests can all understand that. But if there's a certain restaurant, or to be very careful with my words, if there is a certain restaurant that is a very shaky hashgacha, something that many people don't like, something that we would not necessarily paskin one way to say that someone should go eat there, and then you go in there to buy a cup of water, or you go in there to get a, take a bathroom trip with the kids, I don't know. That's already more of a question, right? Because in the Marasayan, in terms of having other people think badly about you, so maybe it wouldn't be. So according to the McDonald's, according to the first few pshatim of someone thinking badly of you, we're not really worried someone's going to think badly of you if they see you in a McDonald's, as we pointed out. And we're not worried that someone's going to go and eat in a McDonald's. It's just not our concern. But all of these concerns seem to be pretty relevant if you went into a restaurant that's, you know, a little bit more on the fence. Or if you're doing some sort of action that is a little closer to the fence, all of those things seem to be much bigger issues than going into any sort of McDonald's. So these are things that we do actually need to be careful about. These are things that we do necessarily need to talk about. And, you know, certain vegan restaurants that people think is all kosher. I don't even know if there's one in Forest Hill, so I'm not talking about anyone specific. Or some people think that it's eating dairy out is okay. It's not. Some people think that you're allowed to do that. So these types of things, you got to be careful with which type of restaurants you want. So it's ironic, but it would turn out, it's an emergency, it's ironic, but it would turn out that it'd be much better to go into some sort of McDonald's or Burger King than it is to go into fill in the blank of the name of the store. Right? So you got to be careful about these things based on how we've explained so far. So what we need to do right now is try to figure out where does this apply and when does this apply. So when exactly does Maaser Sion apply and how often does it apply and when are we going to apply it? So if we look at source number 5, we will see something very, very, very interesting. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Andaf Kuf Mem Vavun Beis. The Gemara is talking about laundering your clothes, or let's say someone on Shabbos wants to go and hang their clothes from the, what's it called, like their laundry.
Clothesline.
From the clothesline, right? Yeah. No one uses that nowadays, obviously, right?
I guess you
don't want. Sure, I really shouldn't talk about that. That and my cleaning, that I really shouldn't. So, the clothesline. So, let's say someone hangs up their clothes on that on Shabbos. So is that going to be a problem? It looks from the outside like it might be kibbutz, it might be laundering, even though you're not really doing that in this situation. Some want to say maybe it's bishul b'chama, because if it's really sunny outside, it's going to cook the water. Machalokes, probably not. But some want to say that it's some sort of malacha. So let's say you're doing that in your backyard. Would that be okay? The Gemara seems to say maybe it would be. But then the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yudam Rav, there's a call of Rav. Kol makum she'asru chachamim b'nei maaras ha'ayin. Any situation which is usher because of maaras ayin, afilu b'chadri chadarim usher. Even b'chadri chadarim, it's going to be a problem. So says the Gemara, Rav has a klal that any time we say something is going to be usher because of maaras ayin, you're not allowed to do whatever it may be for maaras ayin purposes, it's not only going to be usher in public. Right, based on everything we've thought and we've discussed so far, it only seems to make sense if it would be usher in public, but it's also going to be usher in private. You are not going to be allowed to do it in private. And the problem is that there are many Gemaras which seem to contradict this idea of Rav. And it's very unclear who we paskin like. Because as we said, you're allowed to do your laundry if it's not laundry. You're allowed to hang up on the clothesline, not if it's in public, but if it's in private, then it might be okay. And says the Gemara in source number 6.
When did you do
this? Shabbos. So for whatever reason, it was okay in this situation. Because, yeah, it wasn't kibbutz, it was, or if it was, the Gemara goes through all these different ways that it could have been okay during that time. So, this seems to be a big issue. We need to figure out how we paskin, because we have Rav, we have the statement of Rav all over in many, many different Gemaras, but we also seem to have very many Gemaras which seem to go totally against this idea of Rav. So what do we hold? How can we explain this? So first, why would this even be a problem, b'chadri chadarim? I understand you want to tell me Maaser Sion in public. That makes sense. Other people are going to see me and either think negatively of me or mess up and think, oh, that's allowed on Shabbos. That's okay. Why would it be a problem in public, in private? So the Ran, which we're going to see in a few minutes, wants to explain that either when you're in private, you're never actually in private, and there's no greater time in the history of the world than right now to understand that you're never actually in private. Social media, but also the cameras everywhere. Everything is there. Everything could be seen. All right? Everything could be seen. You're never actually in private. Gets a bit scary. Maybe you are actually in private, but you know what I mean. So that's number one reason. And number two is, if someone goes and is doing this action in private, Xera, they'll probably come and do it in public also. So we don't like to allow things in certain places and not, because then they will end up violating it in both places. It's very hard to make that separation between public acts and private acts. So says the Gemara in source number 6. The Gemara says, Tanya, Nachum Ish Galya Omer. Nachum Ish Galya says, Tzinor Sha'alu Bo Kashkashim, V'machim Barago B'tzina B'Shabbos Ve'ino Choshesh. So someone has a broken pipe on their roof. There's this, the gutter, whatever it is, some sort of pipe is broken on Shabbos. And if it's not fixed right away, it's going to cause major issues. I'm sure you've had this. I'm sure you can relate to this. If you do not fix this pipe on the roof, it's going to cause major issues. So what are you allowed to do on Shabbos, says the Gemara? If you go and you kick it with your foot. Normally, someone repairing something would do it with their hands. Another thing I really shouldn't talk about. But repairing things, No, I'm not that inept. But when someone repairs things, they normally do it with their hands. But in this situation, you're allowed to do it with your feet. Ve'eino choshesh, and there's going to be no problem. My taima asks the Gemara, mitakin kilachar yahu. Because even though you're not allowed to fix things on Shabbos, we have makke v'patish mitakin, which is a melacha mide oraisa. But here, he's doing it kilachar yad. Does anyone know what kilachar yad is? Kilachar yad means indirectly, with a shinoi. And when we do things with a shinoi on Shabbos, it turns it from an iser d'oraisa into an iser d'rabanan. Does it turn it into being mutter ever, machlokas, egletal? We'll talk about that maybe another time. But it turns it into an iser d'rabanan. And once we're in iser d'rabanan, v'makum pseida lo gazru barabanan. Since there's going to be such a tremendous loss if this person did not fix this gutter right now, then the rabbanan said, okay, you're fine. Don't worry about it. It's only an iser d'rabanan, so they're going to allow this. We cannot make those rulings or determinations as to when we should say, oh, it's only iser d'rabanan. It's not like, I'm not feeling like it, so it's only iser d'rabanan, so we're okay. We don't do that. That's not how we do things. But, says the Gemara, it's only an iser d'rabanan, since he's doing it kilachar yad, it's d'rabanan, so we're going to allow it b'makom pseida when he's going to lose so many things. I'm a Rav Yosef, hilchsa kenachum ish galya. So this seems to be very much against Rav. This seems to allow it, maybe even in public. I don't know, it depends where exactly this pipe is, but it seems definitely, if you're doing it in private, then it's going to be okay. So what is going on? When is Maris Ayin going to be a problem, and when is it not going to be a problem? Says Tosos in source number 7. Tosos says, I guess let's read it inside. V'ha da'amar kol makum sha'asru chacham emnei Maris Ayin afil b'chadri chadarim asr. So Tosos asks the question without even asking it. He says, I don't understand at all. You wanted to tell me Rav. Rav has this whole klal everywhere that even something that's usher because of Marsa Ayin, which is this, basically, you're fixing a pipe on Shabbos. So Marsa Ayin is going to be usher in public or private. So what is the situation where this is going to be allowed? Even if you want to tell me this is in private, how could you possibly allow this on Shabbos? So it says Tosos, Hainu dafka be'isr malacha de'oraisa. That's only when people are going to think you're violating an iser de oraisa. Kemosha tochin shutchan b'chama, this type of laundering situation, that's where Rav has his klal. That's where Rav says that, oh, when people are going to mistake it for an iser de oraisa, that's going to be a problem. Avalo keneged ha'am. That's when they have this concept of not doing it in public. She'im yiru yizbru shekavsan b'shabbos. Right? Because if people see this, they're going to think, oh, you're allowed to do kibbutz on Shabbos. But in this situation, someone looking from the outside, he's not going to think that there's an Isser de Oraisa going on. He's going to see this person kicking a pipe. And he's at worst going to think that there's an Isser de Rabbanan going on. He might think that there's a crazy person. Probably true. But he's going to think, oh, this is just someone kicking it, doing something kila'achar yad. So it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan. Maris Ayin on an Isser D'Rabbanan is not going to be a problem b'chadrei chadarim. So says Tosos. When Rav has this klal of whatever's usher in public is going to be usher in private, that's when we have something that we are worried is going to lead to an Isser D'Oraisa, like the laundering. But when we are not worried about an Isser D'Oraisa, when it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan that we are worried about at most, then what? Then it's not going to be a problem b'chadrei chadarim. It's not going to be a problem in private. You would be allowed to do all of those actions in private. Comes the Ran and says, that is not true. We have something totally different, a totally different way of understanding this. We're not going to read the whole thing inside. We will just read some of it inside. Says the Ran, Ve'eini omer kin elahanu lo shaychi b'derav klal derav hachi kamar. So when do we say Rav's klal? When do we say that it's usher in private? When do we say that it's not usher in private? Dekol davar shu mutter gamor v'chacham masru b'nei maris ha'ayin bilvad. So, says the Ran, a very interesting principle. When something is fundamentally mutter, but the Rabbanan said that it's going to be usser, when something really could be mistaken for something that's mutter, but it really happens to be usser in this situation, then it is always going to be usser to do in public or in private. When it's something that can lead to a mix-up in a very real way, then we are going to be extra careful and say that it's going to be usher in public or in private. But when we have something that is very clearly usher, everyone knows it's usher to fix your house on Shabbos. Everyone knows that it's usher to go and fix pipes on Shabbos. This situation, we allowed it with kicking because there's a Makom Hefsid. So this situation, we allowed it. No one's going to go and look at that and say, oh, I'm allowed to do that on Shabbos. Everyone knows that's usher. Only things which could raise a question, this is kind of like what we spoke about before. Only things which could raise a question, those are the things which are going to be usher in private and in public. That's when Rav had his klal. But when things are going to be very clearly usher, when everyone knows that it's usher, this situation you happen to be allowed to do it for whatever reason the rabbis allowed you. But when it's very clearly usher, that's when we say, v'chadri chadarim, that would be allowed. You do not have to worry about it. Right? So it turns out, what comes out is the more usher something is, the more it would be allowed in private in a mutter way, and we don't have to worry about marasayan. Because we are not as worried that other people are going to see and get confused with that.
Yeah, but the example that came with the club, which is hanging in the laundry, which aspect of hanging in the laundry are you saying is if you think about it, hanging laundry is mutter. But if you think that it means that he had washed laundry, then that's awesome. Mm-hmm. What is the person?
Well, it's really the whole action. It's when you see this thing.
So when you see the hanging in the laundry, are you assuming that the person is assuming that he washed it?
Right, yeah. Right. So when I see you in McDonald's, I don't have to see you, or again, that part probably not a problem as we explained, but I don't have to see you mid cheeseburger bite. I just see you in there, and then you know, one thing leads to another. You make the assumptions, oh, it's allowed to do this whole process. You're allowed to do this thing that's happening here. I mean, I hear what you're saying. You're saying all you see is this thing standing up, but what usually leads to that?
You're assuming that the person washed it.
Right. So again, all part of the Marzayin, and we're going to talk about that at the end, the Hashgafa points of it. But you're right, it's an interesting point, that it's you don't see the entire action, but whatever the normal course of the action is, that's where the problem is going to lie.
Because you hung it, it looks like you...
That could be also, yeah, all these things. That's why privately, maybe it would be okay, even though machlokas with Rav, but publicly, probably you shouldn't do it. Because we want to stay away from it.
So then in the case of the laundry again, if the person walking down the street is going to assume it, if everybody knows it, it's usher to wash the laundry.
So it's usher to wash the laundry, but maybe certain ways are allowed, maybe certain things are allowed. It's something which is a little unclear. Unclear what exactly is considered kibbutz, how things are done. All these things are a bit sticky. So again, how exactly the Ran would define what's very clear-cut usher versus not as clear-cut usher, we'd have to read the entire Ran, and we'd have to be very careful in defining that. But it's a very good point you're making. Again, a very, very good point. Let's do another Gemara, which discusses this idea of Rav. I did not put it on the source sheet. Look at that. Okay. Well, the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Samach Hei talks about another case. The case is where someone has an animal. Let's say someone has a cow in their backyard. Maybe? Anyone? No? No one has a cow? So let's say someone has a cow in their backyard, and on this cow there are bells. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to walk it out in public because everyone who hears cow's bells or animal bells assumes that someone's going shopping. Yeah, that's a thing?
Someone's
going shopping, and you're not allowed to go shopping on Shabbos. Yeah. Right? Why are you not allowed to go shopping on Shabbos? Mekach u'memkar is usher on Shabbos. Very good. Gzira shema yichtov. Maybe a different reason. Probably an issur derabanan. Doesn't mean you're allowed to do it. No shopping on Shabbos. So if someone goes out with his animal with the bells, people are going to assume that you're shopping, so you're not allowed to do it in public, but if you want to walk around your backyard, then you're okay. What's the question?
What does the bell have to do with shopping?
It's the way that they would tell. It's the way that they would... just the way it was done.
I think they were taking the cow to the market.
Could be. It was the whole thing.
Using it for masa and maka. I don't know what you're using it.
What'd you say?
It's like a vehicle.
Well, it could be. Yeah.
Stuff on the animal.
So that might be also. Yeah. Unclear exactly what the metzias was. We'll take their word for it. Exactly how they went shopping. I think we have different venues of shopping nowadays. Another thing I shouldn't talk about. We have different ways of shopping nowadays. So that's how they would know that they're going out to shop. So when they had these bells on the animal, that's when you knew there was a shopping trip happening. Everyone knew to get their credit cards ready. Everyone had to be careful, try to take off the bells. Maybe they couldn't go shopping as much. Just kidding. Now I lost my train of thought. Right. So, what's the question? The question is, you're allowed to ride this animal or take this animal in the backyard. But I thought we have the klal of Rav. Rav told us that we're not allowed to do things even in private. So what's going on? So comes the Magen Avraham and he says, this is a situation of Dirabanan. As we said, Gzeresh HaMiyichtov, it's only Dirabanan, and yet the Gemara didn't make any distinction. according to the answer we saw from Tosos earlier, Tosos said that the whole private-public thing is based on whether it's an Isser D'Rabbanan or Isser D'Oraisa. So now this all seems to be pretty questionable. We're left with a lot of questions. Let's catch up onto where we are. We'll then go into some halacha, and then we will end with some machshava. Yeah.
But if you're in your backyard, you're clearly not going to mosque.
True, but that's the thing. With Mar Zion, if you see that, if someone sees, maybe they think you're going out to your front yard to leave. They just hear the bells ringing. They say, oh, this person is clearly going to shopping right now. Or he's coming back from shopping.
1600, 1700,
right? True. Right? So it's like you hear things are revving up. You could sense the nervousness in the family and how much shopping is going to be done. It's going to be good. You just can't tell, right? So that's what it's saying, that in that situation it would be allowed. So we're left with a lot of questions. So let's just review what we have done so far, tie it all together, get a little halacha, and end with a little bit of machshava. So again, we started by discussing the balance that's needed with Maris Ayin, and in general worrying what other people think of us. And we spoke about the pasuk Visem Nikim Hashem Umi Yisrael, the pasuk that the Chassam Sofer was so scared of, because I can control what my actions are going to be, but how can I possibly control what others are going to say about me? And we spoke about the treasure in the Beis HaMikdash, how careful we have to be. The Sefer HaChassidim said it's that we don't want to cause others to speak badly of us. It's an Isser of Lifnei Iver unto us. But then we saw the Gemara in Krisus with the fish blood versus the animal blood, and we learned an entirely different reason from our sign, which is that we don't want to cause others to sin. We don't want others to see what we're doing and say, oh, that's allowed. Okay, so I'm going to go do that. And we spoke about the Ramah, who has this idea, buy almond milk. If you're going to have almond milk, you should have the box out, or you should have almonds around, which for us we interpreted to mean if you have parv creamer at a wedding. We all know the wedding most of the time was meat. Anyone been to a dairy wedding? I've heard of it. I've never been to one. Rich Shem. So, who?
No, it's usually
parv. Yeah, well, weddings are usually meat, right? The wedding is usually meat. So then they have coffee with creamers at the end. So, if you're going to have parv creamers, you need to have the boxes out. Some people have this with the parv ice cream, but we spoke about the fact that oftentimes these are not there. When you go to a Pesach program and you have the cakes that taste a lot like chametz, how are you allowed to do that? Shouldn't that be Maris Ayin? So we spoke of the Rush, who says that nowadays that we know everything, that we know why people are in certain situations, we know that these things exist, maybe there's less of an issue. And we said Rav Asher Weiss uses this to say someone going on a business meeting with a yarmulke in a non-kosher restaurant might be okay because everyone knows why they are there. And we discussed that all of this Maris Ayin stuff might also make a difference where you are in the situation that you're in. So if you're going to a McDonald's, no one's going to think that, oh, this guy's going to get a cheeseburger, this guy's going to get the entire menu for $5. No one thinks that you're going to do that, but if you went into a place with the Shekir Hashgacha, you went into a place that, I don't know, are people really there? Are Jews really there? So, that might be more of an issue. We then spoke about when this call applies. So we learned this idea of Rav. Rav says that anytime Maris Ayin is usher in public, it's going to be public, it's going to be an issue in private as well. We had questions on this, because the Gemara seems to say that you're allowed to do laundry type things, you're allowed to hang on the clothesline in private. We said that you're allowed to go and fix your gutter, kind of, and we had the answer of Tosfos and the Ran explaining when we would apply each thing. According to Tosfos, when there's an Isser D'Oraisa that we're afraid of, that's going to be usher in public and private. But when it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan that we're afraid of, then it's only going to be usher in public, but not in private. We saw a different Gemara with the bells of the animal and the shopping that seemed to go against that. Because the Gemara was clearly talking on a D'Rabbanan level, yet didn't make this look. So Tosos seems maybe to be rejected. Some want to say that maybe the animal Gemara with the bells is D'Oraisa, because the Ramban has an idea of Shabbaton. Pasuk says Shabbaton, Shabbos needs to be a day of rest. How do we know that you're not allowed to have your business open on Shabbos? Because of Shabbaton. So even though it's really a Gezeirah Shemayichto, but there's this added idea, a mitzvah saseh of Shabbaton, to be extra restful on Shabbos, and that means not doing any sort of business. So maybe it's an Isser D'Oraisa, some wanted to answer that way, and that way it's not a problem for Tosos. Okay, but this D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan Chiluk, questionable from the Gemara in Shabbos with the animals and the bells and the shopping. We then saw the idea of the Ran. The Ran said, the more usher something is, the better it's going to be in terms of being able to do it in private. When it comes to kicking a gutter, everyone knows you're not allowed to fix your house on Shabbos. This must be a unique situation where the rabbis allowed it, so that's going to be allowed in private because no one's going to fall, no one's going to do that. But when something's questionable, similar to what we said before, when something's a little more questionable, when people might make a mistake, then we have to be extra careful.
But this explanation of the Ran presumes that we don't have to be choshesh for what people who aren't Shomrei Mitzvot are going to think.
Oh, very good. So that's a bit of a separate topic. I wasn't going to get into that. But in terms of that's the more of a topic of Chil Hashem and all of that, right? Chil Hashem, Kiddush Hashem is not only for non-Jews, it's for Jews as well. So that comes into a bit of a separate topic, which is something we need to discuss. And within all of this, we always have to be sensitive to the fact that Chil Hashem, us being in Or LaGoyim, all of these things exist and need to be taken with a tremendous amount of seriousness. So even if we're doing something mutter and allowed, we have to keep that in mind. We are held to a higher standard. I think that is very clear in the world. Unfortunately, we also do have a lot of corruption. We need to make sure to stay as far away as possible as we can. As far away as we can. So, we then had this answer of the Ran, right? And the answer of the Ran being the more usher something is, the better it is for Chadri Chadarim, and the opposite, not. So, now we need to figure out what does any of this mean for us? So, there's a very interesting Ramah. If we look at the Ramah in source number 9, again, this Ramah in Basar B'Chalav. Says the Ramah, V'nag u'lasos chav mishkeidim amnichim ba'basar of. Says the Ramah, again, I'm sorry for this Vardim, I don't know what the Shulchan Aruch would hold of this, but says the Ramah that if you have almond milk and you have chicken, you could put those together and there's no problem. Ho'il ve'ino rak midrabanan. Since it's only midrabanan, you're allowed to have almond milk and chicken together, because many hold that basar b'chalav is only a problem with basar, but if it's chicken, that's only an iser derabanan. And since it's only an iser derabanan, that's why it's going to be totally fine. What seems to come out from the Ramah is that there is no such thing as marasayin on Nisr Darabanan. That's crazy. Because most of what we do are Isurei Darabanan. That would mean marasayin doesn't usually ever exist. So it could mean that that's what the Ramah is saying. But the Shach says that is not what the Ramah is saying. That cannot be what the Ramah is saying. We know it's not true because the Gemara told us with the animal and the cowbells that marasayin exists even though we're talking about it in Darabanan. So it can't be that it's talking about this. Some wanted to say, when the Ramah said it doesn't apply midrabanan, that was talking about Rav's klal in private. That when we're, this is basically the answer of Tosos. Right? Tosos said when we have an iser derabanan, then we are not worried about doing anything wrong in private because it's only an iser derabanan. So some want to say that's really what the Ramah was talking about. So the Bir Halacha says you can be mekil b'chadre chadarim, you can't be mekil in private to do dine derabanan. Obviously, don't take me out of context, you're not allowed to do dine drabanan in private, but if it's mutter in a certain situation to do a din drabanan, you don't have to worry about marasayin when we're only worrying about a din drabanan when you are in private. Again, does not mean you could do isurei drabanan in private. It means that if it's mutter in the situation, then you are allowed to do it without having to worry about marasayin in that situation. Rav Moshe, if we look at source number 11, Rav Moshe has an unbelievable tshuva. My father-in-law, who joined us for Shabbos, he is a tremendous anav. He's not going to like that I said that if he listens to this. But he is a tremendous, tremendous anav. And he likes to show his class. He's a Rebbe in Rambam. And he always makes sure to show his class this tshuva of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe Orachaim Chilak Aleph Simen Sadivav. Rav Moshe was Rav Moshe. Okay? Rav Moshe had this Igros Moshe. And he had a general klal that he would not write the name of the person who wrote the question if it was an embarrassing question. If it was something that's kind of ridiculous that they asked, there's someone who, for example, just coming to my mind now, someone I remember I saw tshuva asked that they were unfaithful with their spouse and they never did tshuva, how could they, all these things. So there he would not post the name of the person who asked the question, otherwise that would be a bit ridiculous. That's an obvious one. But any situation when it would make the person look bad, he would not post the name. But so look at this question. Rav Moshe was 90 plus years old. And he used to go to, what's the name of the show? MTJ, right? MTJ, right? Not TMJ, that's the jaw problem. MTJ, right? And he would go to MTJ. He was 90 plus year old, lived a few blocks away. So what he would do is his wife would light candles in the house, and he would go and get a ride to shul. So look at the tshuva. B'davar nesia la'anashim b'kar, right? Go traveling people in a car. Achar hadlakas haneiros l'beis hamedrash, samuch erev. Samuch erev shnei minut dakot, right? 2 minutes lachol hayoter im yesh ze ize chashash iser, me'akorcha yididi, and he posts the name of this person who asked the question. So says the person, he says, Rav Moshe, again, I don't want to be mezalzel because, you know, Rav Moshe clearly held highly of this person, but the person said, Rav Moshe, you really shouldn't be getting a ride to shul because it's Mar Zion. People are going to think that you're allowed to drive, and therefore you should not be getting a ride to shul on Shabbos. So how does Rav Moshe respond? You'd think Rav Moshe would say, that is the dumbest question I've ever heard in my entire life. You are talking to Rav Moshe over here. But says Rav Moshe, I'm so happy that this person, that I'm sure he was close with, I'm so happy that he took it upon himself to go fulfill the mitzvah of hocheach tochiach, of tochacha, of rebuking me, of trying to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. And chas v'shalom that I would be makbid on this. I'm so happy that you went and you tried to tell me what to do, that you tried to tell me the right thing to do. V'emir tashem, belo neder, right? Beli neder, lo isa od mishas adlakas neros bekar af she'in b'zeh shemetz iser af lo mishum maras ha'ayin. He says, even though there's no semblance of any sort of iser of maras ha'ayin, and I'm going to explain to you why in the rest of the tshuva, and he does, he says there's no maras ha'ayin when it's something which is so clearly mutter. Everyone knows that you have the 18 minutes. Everyone knows that it's not Mamish Shabbos, that the women accept Shabbos a little earlier, the men don't accept Shabbos yet. Everyone knows that this is okay, that this is not a problem at all. There's not even a Shemetz. There's no semblance of an Isser of Maris Ayin, but still, because you're right, I should maybe, you know, I should be careful. I'm not going to go into a car anymore. You're right, I'm going to take your Tochacha, I'm not going to go into a car anymore. The humility. Can you imagine? This is Rav Moshe. And this is what he says. And he goes on for the rest of the tshuva to rip it apart to show why it's not even close to Maris Ayin. But still, the humility of Rav Moshe not to say, leave me alone, get out of my face, but instead to say, thank you so much for your tochacha. I'm going to take it to heart. I'm bli neder. I'm going to try never to go into a car again at this time, even though it's totally fine. But thank you for your question and everything like that. So Rav Moshe says that when something is so clearly mutter, then we don't have to worry. So for all of us, what are we supposed to take away from all of this? It's all a lot of difficult questions. So number one is we should be careful where we go out and eat. Should. Got to be careful. You got to know where you're going. Got to know who's going to see you. Got to know if it's going to cause anything. There's much less of a problem of going to a McDonald's than going to other places. Got to be careful where you go. But what we see from Rav Moshe is that we do, and from what we've seen from everything, is that we do care about what other people think. Whether it's in Chil Hashem, whether it's Visem Nikiyam Hashem in Yisrael, what other people think of us, what other people are going to say about us, while it doesn't determine our lives and control our lives, it is a factor. It is something that we do have to take into account. If we know that we're doing something right, and everyone knows that we're doing something right, it does not mean that we have to say, oh, maybe, no. Then you do the right thing. And even if you're faced with some opposition, you do the right thing. You go in with the proper Yerush Shemaim, you do what you got to do. That's understandable. But there are three main points I just want to take away with, I want to walk away with, and with this we will close. Number one is that we should make sure to put ourselves in situations where we are not going to be subject to causing others to think negatively of us. Kind of like what the Sefer HaChassidim said, while we can't control, it's true, the Chassam Sofer is right, we can't control what others are going to say about us, what others are going to think of us, but we can control the different types of situations that we are going to be put in. We can control where we put ourselves, what we do and how we do things. That we can control. And we should try to make sure to stay above the eye, stay above any suspicion, stay above everything, and make sure that we're doing things in the most yashar way possible, in the best way possible. Number two is, again, even though we cannot control what others are going to say about us and think about us, we can control what we are going to think about others. We all know that we are the best lawyers when it comes to judging ourselves. We somehow are always able to find some sort of defense when it comes to ourselves. No, I needed to do this because we somehow are always able to find a reason. I know, I didn't know I was such a good lawyer until I started defending myself. It's so amazing how good we are at it. And we have to remember, Dan Lekav Slus, the Mishnah and Avos tells us, we have to make sure to judge everyone favorably. We have to make sure to look at people and not just assume, oh, look what he's doing, look what they're doing, it's terrible. No. Take some time. Think about how you would defend yourself, and then go into thinking about how we can possibly defend that person. We know Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has a very famous vort where he says, "Dan lekav schlusses eidin b'di'eved." It's not ideal. It's if you can't do it, then you do it. What's the ideal? What's the lechatchila? The lechatchila is not to judge at all. Ideally, we shouldn't be judging at all. Just go, figure it out. You'll figure it out on your own thing. Do your own thing. Once you're judging, make sure you be down the kafslos. And this is something so important. It's so easy not to be down the kafslos. It's such an incredible midah to have and something we really need to be so careful about. We live in a world where anything we see can be turned for the negative. Anything can... How many times have we found ourselves in situations where we just, I wish I could just explain what's happening here. It's not what it looks. It's not what it looks like. We need to make sure that we are not doing that to other people. And lastly, talking about judging others and being strict on others, we also have to make sure not to be too strict on ourselves. Oftentimes, we judge ourselves. Yes, we're very good lawyers for ourselves, but we're also very harsh on ourselves. We're also our harshest critics. And we have to make sure that we know, as we say in every shir, that we're human and we struggle and it's normal. Struggles happen. Struggles occur. It does not mean that we are low, does not mean that we are bad. We know when someone thinks of themselves as a rasha, when someone thinks of themselves as a bum, when someone thinks of themselves as a low individual, that is how they act. That is how you become, and that is how you're portrayed. We need to make sure we think highly of ourselves. We need to make sure that we understand that yes, we struggle, but we really are great. We're coming out here on a Wednesday night in the freezing cold. That is pretty impressive. I barely came. You guys...
And it's
cold in Chadera Chadera. Yeah, right? And it's cold in Chadera. Very good. Right? Really unbelievable. And we have to remember, this was the mistake of the Meraglim, right? The Meraglim came back and they said, we looked like ants to them, they were so big. And many Bali Musar want to point out that what the problem was, what started the issue, was that they felt small. When we feel small, we act small. We need to make sure that we feel big, we feel great. And yes, we struggle. Yes, things are not easy. But we are great. And we are very good. Not too great, but we're good. We're good. And we need to make sure to feel that, so that way we can go out and impact the world in a positive way. So again, don't judge others, but if you do, make sure you do it positively. Put ourselves in situations where others don't have to see us and be tempted in this situation. Like, stay above the fray. Make sure that we're not in suspicious places. We're not doing suspicious things. And number three, with ourselves, make sure to cut us a little bit of slack, but also push all of this and everything we always talk about is a tremendous balance that needs to be found. And in Mirz Hashem, we should find it very soon.